Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. I'm joined this morning today by Edmund Mitchell. He is the founder and the...
And whatever you want to say, you could call me a million amazing things. I'm not like super uptight about reverb or what you call me or anything. I'm totally okay with anything you call me.
You know, Edmund and I are pre-recording today, and usually I would start over again because I've already done that once, but I think I'm going to just leave this in because I want you to see much fun Edmund and I are having this morning. He is from reverbculture.com.
Too much fun.
Way too much fun. I mean, we were having so much fun, we forgot to hit record, and we've been talking for an hour. This happens all the time. And we're also going to share his book and program, Dual Wielding, A Guide to Praying with the Catechism and Scripture. You're going to love this. But before we go any further, and I officially invite Edmund on, let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear good and gracious God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together today and to talk about two of the most beautiful and underutilized books in the world, the Catechism and your holy word, the Bible. We ask you to guide our conversation and open up the hearts and the minds to those who listen and to us as we speak, and what it is, Lord, that you call us to do through your word and through the tradition of our beautiful Catholic faith. And we ask all of this through your Son's most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I officially welcome to the show Edmund Mitchell. Edmund, thank you for...
Hello!
Hello!
Hello, Allison!
Thanks for joining me today.
I am make happy to be on your interwebs. Hello.
I don't even know where to go with that.
It's so great. You know, can I just say that this studio that we're in is fantastic. It's absolutely amazing. You need to give more tours and maybe like let your listeners look at this fabulous place that we're sitting in.
I think it'd be kind of scandalous because I'm in my bedroom.
Yeah, we're not in the same place.
Yeah, Edmund's not with me. That'd be even more scandalous for a Catholic radio show.
Yeah, very, very, very low budget. Very low budget.
The wonderful studios here at Redbox Media. This is what I love the most about Redbox Media. And the world that we live in is that we can truly connect with people that we would never normally be able to connect with. And I really have enjoyed, so far, connecting with you. I can't wait for everybody else to join in to our conversation. We've had a blast already.
Yeah.
I should have hit play.
Really
So, Edmund, now I know all about you. Can you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I am 27 years old. I don't look 27. I look like 12. And my wife is a beautiful cowgirl from Texas. We have four beautiful children. We have four beautiful children, one in the womb. Mm-hmm. Ignatius, Dominic, Noah, and then not sure about the fourth one. And I'm a youth minister in Texas and also the founder of Reverb Culture, which is a very strange, weird internet website for Catholic young adults.
And we will definitely talk a lot more about Reverb Culture in a minute. I have a question for you.
Yes.
So baby number four. Now, when my kids were born, we were like all about the ultrasound. It was a brand new thing that just kind of started to take off. And we would tell everybody the sex of our baby and the name that we came up with. Yeah. I have noticed there's a real switch in culture right now. They'll find out the sex and they'll share that, but they don't share the name anymore.
Yeah, you don't want someone to steal your name. So, I mean, I'm not that nervous about that, but my coworker Jared, they're pregnant, and he said Well, actually, he literally told me. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you the name we've picked, but you can't take it. He was like, we're gonna name him Leo. You're not allowed to take that. And I was like, I don't know. We might get there first. So
that's a great name, by the way. I really like that name.
Yeah, Leo's a really awesome, strong
name. Our station manager here at Breadbox Media is named Leo, and he's a great guy. So
hi, Leo.
Strong, good name. But you know what? There is real truth to that, because my husband's cousin had a baby before me, had a boy named and stole my name, Ethan.
Did you still call him Ethan?
I didn't. I went with Ian, which is kind of close. I was looking for a John name, but we had different last names, so I probably could have gotten away with it, but I said, you got to do it first. But you know what? He is an Ian, so you know the scriptures tell us, right? Your name is kind of decided before. We pretend we're the one doing it, but really, we know it's all God.
I know, right? And you know, the thing is, our oldest son has the strangest. Ignatius is the most uncommon of our names. Noah, actually, though, when we picked Noah's name, the year that he was born, that was the most popular name. So we kind of have both ends of the spectrum. But I really want my oldest son to become a bishop, so that then we'll have a Bishop Ignatius. I just think that it's about time we have one of those again.
I'll be praying for that. So does he have a nickname, or do you guys call him Ignatius?
No, we just go straight up Ignatius.
Love
no nicknames. Iggy, I don't know. I would just think of Iggy Pop. I would just picture him in leather pants and shirtless. If I called him Iggy, I just...
Yeah, there's nothing good about that ever, anywhere.
No. Ever. Leather pants, I mean, those are done. Those are gone.
Well, I was a child of the 80s. I may have a pair somewhere stuck.
What? You have a pair of leather pants?
I wouldn't try them on now if you paid me, because it'd look a little bit like a seal, and I'd probably get pushed into some ocean somewhere.
You're in a biker gang, Allison.
No, but
were you in one of those biker gangs?
I was a lead singer, though. I thought I was...
A biker gang?
Yeah.
Of a biker gang?
No, just a garage band. Back when they were actually bands and not just a app on my Mac.
Do your fans know this? Is this something you tell people?
No, this is the first. You're the first one to get that out of me. Yes, I thought it was the next Pat Benatar, which most people don't even know who that is anymore. And
I'm better than Terry Gross here. I'm just pulling stuff out of you.
You are. I think I'll just sit back and let you do the interview. So what?
Yeah, Allison. So how many kids do you have?
It's all about me and my three kids. But you got one more than I do.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, that's not true. I take that back. I actually have two in heaven, so I've got five. So you got one more to catch up to me.
Okay.
All right. I love that Catholics do that. I love that we acknowledge our children in our womb and the children who made it to heaven before us.
Yes. And things like that are so important. Our language and the way we talk about things are so, so important. It's important to convey truth in the way that we speak. And it teaches, even though people don't know that they're being taught.
You know? Just because
I didn't mean to.
No, it's beautiful. That's what we're here for. Just because I decided I wanted the child didn't actually make it a child. It was a child at conception. Just saying.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
So I pray to them, my little intercessors, and so far so good. I think I always say that my goal for my children is heaven. And so I believe in the grace of God. I know we can't say for certain where they are. The Catholic Church doesn't teach that. But we do teach that we rely heavily on God's mercy. And I do believe he's pretty merciful. And I've consecrated myself to Jesus through Mary. And I know she takes my graces and puts them where they're most needed. So I'm pretty sure, with all confidence, I can say that I've got 2 out of 5 into heaven already. So pretty good odds.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know of a youth minister who would kind of jokingly tell her parents or the parents, you know, you can either help me and get your kids to heaven, or you can go to hell. She would just kind of jokingly say, it is very, very important. You know, it's very, very important for you to try and get your kids to heaven.
That is very funny. I love people who can play with the English language like that. Double entendre. Make me laugh. Anyway, speaking of great words, what on earth is reverb culture?
Reverb culture, man, what is it? That is the question. I think really it's just a way that I can talk in the third person about, you know, I can just say, we have written this book and we are being interviewed on this radio show. But really, so 3 or 4 years ago, when I graduated college, went to a very, very Catholic university, was very lucky and blessed to have an amazing experience there, very on fire for my faith, really excited, graduate, go into the real world, and the real world's hard, and being married and having kids is hard, and I was really struggling, I was struggling particularly with how do I integrate my faith into my life completely. And a lot of the questions that would come up is, you know, are the ways that I'm integrating my faith into my life, am I doing them because I feel called to do that, do it this way? Or am I doing it because, in my case, I was at college looking around at all these awesome, like, holy men and women and kind of, you know, modeling them, which is awesome, awesome to do. But I just, I wanted to get closer to the sources in a way. I wanted to, be inspired by my faith and from out of that inspiration, you know, live my life. You know, the way that we celebrate our, we celebrate baptisms, in our family, kind of over and above birthdays. We still celebrate birthdays, but that was something that came out of reflection on baptism and reflection on the doctrine of baptism. And it was something that, you know, no one ever really like told us about. It came straight from prayer and just wanting to live out the faith a lot more and integrate it. So anyway, so I got on this kick of the catechism kind of around this time, because for me, it was like I was looking for, and I mean, these podcasts and these radio shows and books, Catholic books and Catholic authors are amazing. Like, I would not wish them away at all. Like, I do it and I am one, and praise God that we have them. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I was seeking those out over and above just seeking out to know the faith myself. And so I was relying on these people to convey the faith to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had a lot of holes and gaps, and was not catechized very well as a kid. So I was like, okay, well, this book, the Catechism, is the complete thing. And so I opened it up and I said, this is extremely boring. It was like kind of my first reaction. I was like, this is really hard to get through. It's super huge. You could kill someone with this huge catechism, and it's dense and difficult. So instead of reading the catechism, I read tons of books and tons of other things. And did exactly the opposite of what I intended to do. I went and sought out what other people thought about the catechism. So, you know, read about, you know, Pope Benedict's, you know, the origin of the catechism, Cardinal mm-hmm. Schoenborn, Father Iñárritu Cantalamessa has an amazing homily that kind of changed my life pretty much. And so anyway, so out of all of that, the idea was, well, what if, you know, when people think of the catechism, I discovered that the catechism was so, so important and so unprecedented in the life of the church. That I had to do something. Why aren't more people reading it? This is amazing. I'm praying with this and it's changing my life, and the faith is coming alive in a new way, and things that I haven't heard other people talk about are kind of like coming up in prayer. And so anyways, the idea was, what if, you know, when I would ask people or talk to people about the catechism, I would say the word catechism and their face would just drop, and they would just, they were reminded of, you know, nuns with rulers. They were reminded of the Baltimore Catechism and having things beaten to their head. And so I was like, what if we did the exact opposite? What if we could create the exact opposite of what people thought when they think of the catechism? And so that's the idea with Reverb Culture, is it's blogs or articles. We were doing some podcasts, but because of time and stuff, mm-hmm. I couldn't really keep devoting to that. So it's just this place, this project and idea of, you know, how could we do the opposite of what people think when they think of the catechism? And could we create a culture based on the catechism? Could we create a culture and a lifestyle almost rooted in scripture and the catechism, which is essentially Jesus Christ in scripture tradition and the magisterium, you know? So could we create a lifestyle that was attractive using media? Because there's so many places that people look, especially young adults, to be inspired or for a way of life. And so it's like, could we create a way of life just in this small little section of the internet with our friends and family and community and stuff and figure it out? So that's the weird kind of crazy. It's morphed a lot. And I don't know if we do it particularly well yet, but that's the idea.
I think it's very unique and original, and I do think you do it very well. If I didn't, I wouldn't have invited you on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
So there's that, and it, for what it's worth, we're talking today with Edmund Mitchell. He is from Reverb Culture. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. I'm joined today by Edmund Mitchell. He is from ReverbCulture.com, and he is the author of this wonderful ebook, which we're going to talk a lot more. It's more than just an ebook, but right now in front of me, it's just an ebook. But we're going to talk about the book and all the plans that he has for Dual Wielding, A Guide to Praying with the Catechism and the Scripture. And before we jump into this, I have to tell you, in the last segment, you mentioned the word awesome. Well, my listeners will all be laughing because I get this. It's like the worst earworm in the world is that song from the Lego Movie.
Oh.
And
everything is awesome.
You can't help but sing that. Last week I was stuck and I sing it all the time. So now they have somebody else singing it. I love it. I'm glad that you sang it. That's fabulous.
Yeah, my professor from Franciscan, Sister Johanna, would be just very upset because she, like we talked about. I don't know if I think it was before the interview, but you know how your words can teach, mm-hmm. and she says that you should not use the word awesome because only God awesome means something that inspires awe, and only mm-hmm. God. Inspires awe, or beautiful things inspire awe. But to just say, yeah, you know, I went to the store and it was awesome is kind of, you know, hurting that word in a way. But,
and she would really dislike Boston because we say wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome.
Pocky cod, have a god. Wicked awesome.
That's exactly how I talk normally. In fact, my producer, when I'm live, my old producer, Jennifer, now we've bumped her up to more professional stuff, and now I have a board operator, Alex, but every once in a while, I would say something, especially the word bia. I can't say the word beer the way it's meant. She would send me a message through the Skype saying, your Boston is showing.
But do you have a little Canadian? Do you got a little Canadian? Because I thought I was hearing a little a boot.
I
thought I was hearing a little bit of that. Maybe it was Boston.
No. It's Boston. I have a very strange. Half my family's from Rhode Island and half mm-hmm. my family is from Massachusetts. So I have like a kind of a combination. Okay. So maybe, and my husband's Canadian, but not from there. But
maybe it's starting to seep in because my wife is from Texas. I grew up all over the nation, so I have I didn't have accent for a very long time. But man, I tell you what, my wife sometimes I get myself kind of going y'all a little bit, you know.
Y'all. I love y'all. I think it's the best word ever.
Yeah, I love to type y'all. I don't know why, but in emails, I'm always saying y'all. I feel like it's kind of like endearing.
It is. I say it when I'm giving presentations. I always say y'all. Y'all, listen up.
I feel like it's endearing. I feel like if you had to summarize Texas, you could say, you know, like the endearing state. You know, they want to be kind of endearing. They want to, you know, be polite and endearing.
I don't know if you're HGTV watchers, but I'm getting even more endeared to Texas through Fixer Upper with the Gaineses. Oh, yeah. Love those people.
Yeah, I think they're from near here, either Fort Worth or Dallas, which is where I'm at.
Yeah, I should know where they're from. Oh, they're from Waco. I'm going to say I should know because they talk about it every time. Anyway, I'm also known as the squirrel girl. I may go off topic now. See, I almost got really Boston on you.
Topic.
We're going to get back on topic. We're going to talk about Dual Wielding, A Guide to Praying with the Catechism and Scripture. Mm. And I do have to say, I think that your website does do a very unique and wonderful thing by bringing in the catechism.
Thank you.
And I think that, like I started with my prayer, saying that it's one of the most underutilized books. I did not open a catechism until I was well into my 30s.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people, when I talk to them about the catechism or do workshops and stuff, they're like, why has no one told me this? Like, it's under our coffee table, and we have not opened it up because mm-hmm. we thought we should use it like a dictionary.
Exactly. And I'm telling you, my husband's in the diaconate program, and it is one, it's both, he's taken four classes, and two out of the four, it's been his textbook.
Wow.
And like, that's wonderful. Like, yes, let's pull this out and remember. Not only, and I'm going to remind those guys not only to learn from it, to be out teaching it.
Yes. The catechism, by its very nature, is missionary, and that's straight from the church. The church put out a summary they put out an informative dossier, however you say that, kind of to inform bishops and people who like what the catechism was and is, and in it they say two things that it's that it's an authentic fruit of Vatican II, but then also that it is missionary. It is like has a missional aspect to it. So that's really cool. And Pope Benedict even said, you know, the full reception of the catechism of, in the life of the church is way ahead of us, you know? And so it's something that we still, are not using enough.
The part on prayer alone, like when people ask me, where do I start in it? Like you said, it's not something, I mean, you can read it from cover to cover, and I think it has great value to do that. But when people say it's like this wielding book and where do I start? I usually send people to the part on prayer because I
think. Amen. That's the same thing I do.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Yep. I say read the fourth pillar, and that will create a desire, a hunger for you to read the rest, because it is one of the most beautiful treatments of prayer. And you know, in fact, actually, every pillar was written by or the task of coming up with the draft was written by two bishops. So like the first pillar was like UK and Argentina, the other one was Chile and Italy, the third one was France and Spain, I think, but the fourth one was Jean Corbin, who's a Melkite priest from Lebanon.
Oh, neat.
And so he was in Beirut at the time, where with lots of bombings and stuff going on, and was in a basement writing most of the draft of this work, and wrote one of the most beautiful. I heard Barbara Morgan is an amazing catechist who founded the catechetics department at Franciscan University. She says, I mean, I'm not smart enough or I don't have enough credentials to say this, so I'll just say that she said it. She said this is the first of its kind in the English language. The first spiritual work of its kind of this nature, and is unprecedented in the way that it's just its beauty, its ability to expound the faith. And so it's amazing. And people don't know that. People don't know that the fourth pillar of the catechism was written with bombs going off. Like, it's just so amazing. You know, that's such an amazing thing.
We studied the whole semester was on prayer. It was on spirituality and prayer. And we used it as our textbook. And I did not know that.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so great.
That is incredible. Oh, you are a wealth of knowledge. This is going to be only halfway through. This is so
much
fun.
So I spent years just learning all this stuff about the catechism, because I would open it and just nothing would happen. I would open it and be like, I don't get this. And I think a lot of people relate to that. And so when the biggest shift, honestly, was I read an article out of the theological journal Communio. And it was by the then I think rector of Mundelein Seminary, who said it was a whole article on praying with the catechism and using a method of Lectio Divina with the catechism, and you know, saying how appropriate it is, because it is the sacred, you know, it is a summary of the sacred deposit of faith. And that just blew my mind. So I started doing that, and then I realized that in the back of the catechism is this index of citations. And the index of citations basically lists out all the scripture verses that are quoted in the catechism. Mm-hmm. And for people who remember like the Baltimore Catechism or the Roman Catechism, this catechism is soaked with scripture, so soaked with scripture. So on all of these pages, as you're learning about the faith, there are tons and tons of scripture verses that are supporting all the teachings of the faith. So if you go to scripture and you start doing Lectio Divina with scripture, praying with scripture and meditating on scripture, maybe just like one or two verses out of, like, let's say the first chapter of John, you can flip to the back of the catechism and look up those verses and see how the church interprets those scriptures, see how the church views the way that they support doctrine and dogma. And that really changed the game for me. That really, it made scripture come alive. And I felt secure when I would pray Lectio Divina, because I think that's one of the first kind of challenges people come into, is they feel kind of nervous, like, am I interpreting this right? Yes. I don't know if I feel competent to apply this to my life. So to be able to you know, like, for instance, in the book, I walk through the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus calling to Zacchaeus, and the way the catechism uses that scripture verse multiple times throughout the catechism, it breaks it open in a way that I had never even thought of, and it uses it as a model of prayer, you know, and it never even occurred to me. And and you know that you're getting it straight from the church. You're sitting at the feet of the church, You know, one of our friends of Reverb, Abraham, which is an amazing name, by the way.
Totally.
Abraham said, you know, it's hard because I have to say a friend of Reverb, because if I say Abraham says, people might. But he said this amazing.
Wow, he has a direct line to him, huh? That's pretty impressive.
I know, right? But he said this amazing line one time. He was reading with the catechism, and I was, you know, praying with the catechism. And I was, you know, teaching him how to do that and stuff. And he got back to me and he said, you know, I feel like scripture is words from my father and the catechism is words from my mother. You know, Mother Church. And it's so true.
Beautiful.
It's so true. I mean, there is not a more complete set of books you could have, you know, than the Catechism and Scripture.
And I think people would be amazed at how much the Catechism can play in your own conversion or reversion. For me, I was, you know, away from the church for a while, and I was invited to a Bible study by Catholic friends. But shortly after, about a year into it, many of the groups started to get really drawn into Scripture. We started reading things more from our Protestant brothers and sisters, and they're wonderful stuff. I mean, we fell in love with Jesus through the scriptures because we had never encountered any of that. And at one point, four of my very closest best friends left the Catholic Church, and they're like, you know, come check out this church. It's amazing, such fellowship. The pastor is, you know, his talks are incredible, the music. And so I went and I sat there going, this is incredible. This is everything I've been looking for. But there's still something not here. Like, I missed my Catholic calisthenics. I missed something. So I went home and I really started to pray, and I was guided to the catechism. And as I started to pray, and I love how you pray with the catechism. I love that you use that, because that's exactly how I look at reading the catechism. Mm-hmm. As I was in there in conversation with God and I started to see the scriptures come to life, I realized, oh my gosh, the Catholic Church is scriptural, and I have been missing it.
Yes, that's amazing. That's an amazing story. Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like if you had to learn the faith some way, the catechism, I mean, obviously, you know, Pope Benedict in a book, I think Cardinal Ratzinger in a book called Gospel Catechesis Catechism, which is a really short, small little read, which is, it's fantastic. Talks a lot about the catechism. But one of the things he says is the catechism requires the interior teacher, the Holy Spirit. It requires an exterior teacher, or one who catechizes or kind of helps guide you through the faith. And it also requires the community of disciples in order for it to really thrive. That kind of became the mission of Reverb Culture, was can we cultivate a place?
Edmund Mitchell from Reverb Culture, please stay tuned. You don't want to miss this. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. I'm joined today by Edmund Mitchell. He's from ReverbCulture.com, and we are talking about the amazing catechism of the Catholic Church in his book, Dual Wielding. I'm going to rename the book, Edmund. You're okay with
thank
that, right?
You. Yeah, totally fine.
I'm just going to here to market you. I'm just here to help.
You're here to help. You're editing it.
I was calling it dual wedding earlier, so I think at least I'm using wielding again.
Yeah.
So it's dual.
Dueling the catechism.
Love it. Dual wielding, which of course we mean holding on to our catechism in one hand, scripture in the other, and coming to God through prayer with them both. I'm assuming. I could be making stuff up.
Yeah. No, that's it. That's it. You're hired.
Thank you.
As my marketer.
I accept. So we're talking with Edmund Mitchell, dual wielding, and we left off with some really profound words from Pope Benedict, I think.
Yeah. Pope Benedict. Oh, yeah. So, what I was saying was that, we were talking about praying through Scripture and the Catechism and it kind of coming to life and this conversion. Pope Benedict says that in the book Gospel Catechesis Catechism that the Catechism requires the interior teacher of the Holy Spirit, an exterior teacher or someone to help guide you, you know, through the faith, and a community of disciples. And that really kind of became the mission of Reverb Culture, was like, let's kind of create this space where those three things could all come together.
And I think community is huge, because for me, again, sharing that story, I grew very close to Christ through meeting every single week with these group of women. We went from about seven of us to, when I left the group, there was over 40 of us. And then I felt kind of alone in an island again. Like, okay, now what do I do, Lord? You took away my, you know, my boat, my support system of faith. And I started to feel myself slipping back into old habits, getting away from the faith. And, you know, through prayer again, the Lord said, why don't you start your own? So to have that courage to step out and create your own community is kind of, you know, how you must have felt doing Reverb Culture.
Yeah. And we do try to promote community, and the same thing with the book. You know, like you said earlier, you know, when you really, if it's not abundantly clear on the website, really the book, when you're buying the book, you're buying the book, a community online where people can come together and share with each other. You're buying a video course, and also extra printouts, and there's a 10-day prayer guide. There's another prayer guide in there that kind of is like training wheels for dual wielding. And that was why I wanted to put that in there, is this private community where we could get together and like, all right, we're trying to dual wield here. We're trying to pray with the catechism. What, you know, what problems are coming up and what challenges might you be having, and supporting each other in prayer.
So we're going to talk a lot more about the book as we go forward. So I just want to just take a second to talk about the videos. What is your plan for those? They're not out yet, correct?
Yes, they're not out. And so my amazing friend, Christian, was going to – well, he did. He flew out. We flew him out to Texas. He's in Atlanta. He flew here. We had multiple cameras. We had all this stuff. We had this whole shebang. And my wife, you know, took the kids, you know, to the in-laws, and we were going to record this whole thing. And we just hit problem after problem after problem.
When you know it's going to change life after life after life.
That's a good way to look at it. So we ended up just saying, all right, like, we weren't successful this time. And so the idea for the videos is to kind of supplement. So to have, you know, my crazy personality kind of, you know, you could kind of, you know, have me tell some of the stories. I would love to tell some of the stories that are in the book just in person to camera, and for people to see, but also, going through some of the different nuances of, dual wielding, some different things, some of the background of the catechism, some different kind of, you know, explaining and talking through a walkthrough of it. Because people learn different ways. Some people learn by reading straight through. Some people learn a little better by video. So I wanted there to be, and really it's kind of an experiment too, I love getting feedback about this stuff, and I'm just constantly trying to figure out what is the best way to help people open up the catechism. So the idea was, let's put a lot of different methods for people to learn, up somewhere, for people to have. So that's kind of the idea with the videos.
That's the catechist in you.
Yeah.
Your
catechist
is showing, Edmund.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I can't wait for those. And we're going to pray for those, everyone that's listening. Just offer a quick prayer. Hail Mary. Just ask for all of those obstacles to be removed. Because truly, when there's more obstacles, that means that the outcome, the fruit from it, is going to be that much more powerful. Because you've gotten somebody's attention and he's putting up walls. But God's always victorious. So we're going to pray for those obstacles to be blown apart and for your videos to hit the market very soon.
But and just to be clear, when people buy all of the updates, they get access to all updates like going forward. So when the videos come out, they won't have to buy anything. They won't have to do anything. It'll just be an email sent to them saying, hey, like, they're up now. You can have these. The same thing with some of the resources. I threw in like an extra one that I had made recently and just kind of like popped it in afterwards after a bunch of people had bought the whole package. So.
I think that's important, because when you first look, you know, if you see the price, it's $35. If you looked and went, I'm going to buy an ebook for $35.
Yes. And I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
But that's how, you know, it's difficult on, you have to set things up a certain way because technology is helping our lives. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure everybody is clear that, and I'm glad that you reminded me too, that you are not just buying. And by the way, even if it was just the book, totally worth the money.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. home. But yeah, you're also getting so much more. So to keep that in mind as you're,
yeah, you and, go. And eventually the book will be available online with just the ebook once we get it into Kindle form and some of those other things, get it up on Amazon. But for now, I really wanted to work with people that were going to look through all of the material. And I really put hours and hours, I mean, days into this whole project. The videos are going to be hours and hours and hours. So there's a lot in it, you know. So it's, yeah. So it really does help support, give me the ability to do that, you know, to put that much time and effort and energy into it.
Exactly. We're gotten to such a culture, speaking of culture, where we're just instant satisfaction and everything is like on sale and the cheaper we can get it, the better. But I think that we do a disservice to ourselves and to the things that could be provided for us, especially to grow in our spiritual life, when we're not open to understanding that somebody put a lot of time and energy, and you're helping not just to, you know, get them a Lamborghini, but you're actually supporting his beautiful family.
Yeah.
Four children.
And Reverb Culture. Like a lot of it goes into Reverb Culture, honestly, like goes into the website and goes into some of the cool things that we do there. So, and I mean, it helps us. There are these catechisms, these green catechisms that we get. And so it helps us get those. It helps us. We make these little notebooks, that mm-hmm. I kind of made to, you know, help people, you know, to have something to write in. And on the back, it has this little logo that kind of helps you remember the four different pillars, you know? So I don't know. We don't have a visual, but you can go check that out.
I do show notes, and I do pretty
nice,
pretty
yeah.
kick butt show notes. So we'll make sure we have everything
everything
linked. And my son wears your T-shirt very proudly.
That's so awesome. That's so cool.
The minute I saw it, I'm like, I have to say, I purchased this T-shirt.
That's great.
When you listen to show hosts all the time, we do get a lot of freebies, but this one I really wanted to support Reverb Culture, because I knew about you before I even had the show. And my son is 16, and he goes to what's called LIFT. It's Eucharistic Adoration, kind of like the Stubbies stuff, where we have a speaker and awesome music by John Niven. And it's incredible. And so I wanted to make sure he had a really cool T-shirt to wear. So he has his Reverb Culture.
You're such a good mom. Look at you. You want your son to be really cool. Like, that's just great.
Yeah, he's going to be a bishop right alongside your son.
Nice. That would be so great. It's so great.
He said he's like 6 or 7. He's like, Mom, I think I have a calling to the priesthood. What's the worst thing you can say to a mother in love with the Catholic Church? Every nun that I meet, pray for my son. His name's Adam. Pray for my son. Like,
that's
like he,
so
has,
good.
He just has no, there's no escape for him. He's going to be a priest. He can't help it. So he's a good kid, and he will also he's a homeschooled kid, so he's definitely going to be reading your book as one of his lessons. Just saying.
Great.
So let's talk about the book.
Okay.
Dual wielding. What goes on here?
What goes on in the book?
Yes, please.
Okay, so So in the little intro, I kind of explained that the idea of the book is that it's a guide. It's not extremely short, but it's like 110 pages. And there are some other things too that I even want to add more into it. But the idea is for it to be the opposite of what people think of when they think of the catechism. So I really wanted the book to represent and to physically be. I mean, even just the way when we're going to get it printed. I mean, I want it to be the opposite of what people think. So we're spending extra to get these full color photos. I mean, put tons and tons. I put almost as much time into writing it as I did designing it and just making it beautiful. I had an amazing Allie Hoffman, who's amazing. You can check her out on Instagram. I think it's the Oodles of Doodles. She did all the doodles in the book and these, you know, pictures. She did the cover, you know, it's all like hand drawn stuff. My friend Chris went out and did this full photo shoot. We got like all these really beautiful photos.
Oh, the photos are incredible.
Yeah, I love them. I owe them just so much. They're very, very talented at that. So the idea was this needs to be the opposite of everything you think of when you think of the catechism. And I'm really targeting people who were like me, who thought, man, the catechism's boring. Man, it's just big and dense, and I don't know if I could ever open it up. So I started out with a few stories kind of talking about the importance of the catechism, the importance of revelation or the deposit of faith in our lives, our relationship with God. And then we go straight into the method. And the method of dual wielding is kind of one that I have kind of developed, I guess you'd say, like over the years. And it's just, it's honestly the way I pray every morning is I take a catechism scripture and a journal or something to write in into prayer and just kind of spend some time going back and forth between the two. So that kind of method of Bible, catechism, write both is kind of our little, you know, catchy, super catchy thing. But Bible, catechism, write both. And so it's, you know, praying with just a small little chunk of scripture, then and reflecting. Oh, sorry.
And that's right. We do. This time flies, but I really I definitely want to talk more, especially about the journaling part, because I think that is crucial to discovering your faith. It gives you that hindsight that like nothing else. Talking today with Edmund Mitchell from Reverb Culture and his book, Dual Wielding. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined today by Edmund Mitchell. We're talking about his new book. I just closed the book. Why would I do that? There it is. A crazy woman. Dual Wielding, A Guide to Praying with the Catechism and Scripture. And of course, we talked in the last segment that it's not just a book. There's so much more. And I'll have the link to it, reverbculture.com/dual wield, so that you can learn even more about what Edmund is doing over at Reverb Culture and what dual wielding can do for you and your spiritual life. But I want to talk about the methodology. What is it that we, you know, you're trying to help us? And I know that it will, because I did a little bit of it myself. Mm-hmm. I already feel deeper in prayer when I spend time with this book.
Yeah, so the idea is to spend, so because it's so hard, it's not super hard to read straight through, but because a lot of times we have this resistance to reading straight through the catechism, the idea is like, and I kind of say it this way, is the catechism is like, it's not like a salad. You like plow through a salad to get to the steak, right? But the catechism is the steak, but instead, like, I like to think of it like whiskey, right? Whiskey, you don't just chug. I mean, if you do, you need to talk to someone. But if you, like, you really want to take sips. You want to take a sip and let that kind of sit in, you know, and sit with that for a while. The same thing with the catechism. You want to take little chunks. That's the best way I've found. It's just take little chunks and allow the Lord to speak with you to you through that. So the idea was, you know, praying with scripture. So the method is Bible, catechism, write both. So you take a little chunk of the Bible, you know, maybe you're starting to read through the Gospel of John. So you take the first chapter and a couple verses. Then you turn to the index of citations in the back of the catechism, which lists out all the verses in Scripture that are cited in the catechism. It'll tell you where to go, where you can read the paragraphs, right? So maybe you pick one or two paragraphs of the catechism. So that next part is catechism, where you pick those two and you just kind of soak on those. Like, okay, here are these two paragraphs. And then the next part is writing or journaling. And so this is where you really start engaging, you know, your imagination, the like what's going on and the conversation with God about, okay, what is the Lord really trying to teach us and trying to teach me personally, right? So the write part is where, you know, I normally write the date, the scripture verse, some of the things that stood out, and then the catechism verses, and then just some of the little like words and stuff that stand out. And I just spend that time kind of in reflection. If you're familiar with Lectio Divina, it's a similar method of sitting and having that conversation, and then just kind of not just relaxing, just not worrying about, oh, what does it say? The catechism say, I'm not, you know, this and that, I'm not sure, but just allowing the Lord to speak through that. And then that's where that both, that last part of the both is, then you start making these connections. So the last part of the both is kind of like the application. So now that you take both, go into the both, and then coming out of this method of, you know, what is the Lord asking me to do? You know, what is the Lord, you know, kind of prodding me into? What do I need to believe or do, you know, differently, or what are the things, the truths that I need to believe from these things. So that's kind of the method, and that's kind of just the way, I don't know, my personal prayer developed over time. And when I would teach people that, they really, really liked it. They really, really enjoyed it.
Now, what if somebody says to you, well, I'm not a writer, I don't really like to write, like, how do you respond to that?
So I used to be that way for the longest time. I still kind of hate journaling because I'm just afraid, like, you know, Mother Teresa, someone's just going to find it and publish it after I die. You know, so I'm just like, so, I mean, when I write stuff down in my journal, even though I know it's private, I know I'm thinking like, would a third person or would a second person be really weirded out by this? But I think there's tons of research into how writing helps us think better, be more creative. It helps us process things, remember things better, all these things. I think writing is a really great way that the Lord uses to speak to us, especially after the prayer.
Yes.
So often, you know, if you're not writing or recording stuff down, it can be really easy to just take your prayer in these individualized chunks, detached from everything else.
Yes.
And I think to be able to see this record, not only is it motivating, like, man, I've prayed every day this week and look at this log of it, but also, you know, I had recently something come up in my, you know, in prayer that then when I looked back, I was like, wow, this is exactly stuff back here. And to see that consolation happening, you know, a few weeks before and all those things was just really, it's really encouraging. So I would say try it. Even if you only write down the catechism verses in the scripture, there are going to be insights that the Lord's going to show you. There are going to be things that you're going to be taught through the catechism and scripture. And you're going to love that you can look back and say, oh yeah, when I was reading, you know, John 6 on the Bread of Life discourses and stuff, like, man, this was the parts in the catechism that really spoke to me on that, you know. So I think it's a very, very beneficial spiritual practice to write stuff down.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
And you know, there's the times where that you would get stuck in prayer. Everybody goes through mountaintops and valleys, and everybody goes through places where they're very fruitful in their prayer, and the other days that like they don't even, like, I have no desire to pray. And one of the things that I have done in the past, which I think really would be, this speaks to how to it very well, is that I'll take my journals or my notes or whatever, and I will bring those with me to adoration. And those days where I do not want to pray, I will go back and just read through my notes. And it's,
you
have that hindsight of like, oh my gosh, God was in that. Or, man, I'm so glad God didn't answer the way I wanted him to, because that wouldn't have worked out.
Yeah, that's why St. Ignatius talks about this consolation desolation, right? When we're in consolation and prayer is easy and prayer is coming easy, right? We got to fill up our tank and prepare ourselves to go into the desert, right? So then when we're in desolation and prayer is hard and all these things, we got to think back and remember the consolation, remember those things so that the Lord can kind of, you know, help us get through those times of desolation, you know? And so that's why writing down is a very, very effective way of doing that.
And you know, generally speaking, most people will not have their journals found and reread. But honestly, what I do, just to make it kind of fun, I just in case my kids at some point decide, you know, after my passing or, you know, during my saint cause or whatever, I've written things like, you know, that's not really your dad, and just things to really mess with him.
Really? Wait, that's not... Wait, you just like in the margins or something?
I'll just be like writing a sentence and I'll just add a sentence in. By the way, that's not really your dad. I mean,
oh my gosh, that's amazing. I am the last Highlander. You know, it's stuff like, oh my gosh.
I really did like your brother better than you.
Oh, that's amazing. That is so good.
Because they know my sense of humor. I pray they remember my sense of humor. Can you just see somebody who doesn't know me? I can just see my saint records now. And apparently she had multiple spouses and lived a dual life. Anyway, you have to have some fun with it. Mostly it's going to be...
I am a superhero. just in case you read this, just want to let you know, I really was a superhero.
Yes, there's money buried in the backyard.
That poor backyard will get so dug up.
You can have
It was somewhere. She wrote it in her journal. She's got to be... Why would she write something not true in her journal? Who does that? Mom does that.
Mom. Squirrel girl mom does that. Like, you have to have fun with life. So
what is it? Was it Saint Teresa of Lisieux that God save us from boring saints or tired sisters.
I think it was Teresa of Avila, actually.
There you go. I get so confused.
Me too.
Teresa Therese.
Teresa of Avila. She's the one who has been known to have been dumped by a donkey into the mud, looked up to the heavens and said, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them.
Yes, that's so great.
One of my favorites. So getting back to dual wielding, who is your audience? Who do you see as...
My audience is me, because that's the audience I know the best, is 27-year-old young adults. But in all honesty, I think the audience is young adults. I'm purposely seeking young adults. And again, you know, going with this this motif of being the opposite of what the catechism is, that's kind of why we're purposely not shy about cocktails and whiskey and stuff like that on the website. And even in the book, we got cocktail recipes, the Schoenborn Schmeil, which is a little fruit drink. And then we have Ratzinger's Old Fashioned, which is both like just drinks we kind of came up with that we really enjoy. And so the demographic is strongly and confidently young adults, who I don't know, who are just like living life and trying to find some type of unifying principle, because you know, especially as a young adult who's maybe newly married or trying to live life, I don't know, there's a lot out of question, like how do we celebrate Christmas, what are we going to do for Thanksgiving, how am I going to live my life, where does which side of the bed do I sleep on, just really important questions like that,
And your in your age group is the one that gets left out of everything in the Catholic faith. I think that's probably why I was so drawn to Reverb Culture, because we have things in the church for the young and then the teens, and then once you get married and have a baby, we'll help you again. But there's that little group of people that you're targeting that do not have these resources, and I think it's fantastic that the Lord's put it on your heart to provide for them.
And I don't think that there's there are some, but the idea is for it to be like a challenging read, a challenging website, a challenge, to not shy away from doubt, to not shy away from human experience and suffering and those things that young adults really want to, at least for me, I really wanted to see. That was what I was struggling with as a young adult, is doubt, is suffering, is making sense of the world. And I don't want to read someone shying away from that, or at least I just want to be able to at the end of the day go someplace or read something or be with a friend who can go there with me.
How do you see these being utilized, the books,
the guide
and the materials? How do you see all of this being utilized?
So I would love for people to pick it up and read through it. I would love for them to take it. I mean honestly, I'm designing it to be something that you take in with a scripture in the catechism. So I'd love for that. I'd love to get feedback, and then I'd also love for a community to be born out of it, the private community online and on Reverb Culture. So I would love that. I just would love in general for more Catholics to look to the catechism for inspiration in their life, in their writing, in their culture, and in all of those things. I wish we used that a lot more, so.
Well, I'm inspired. So there's one. So yay.
Yes. Success. We're done here.
Yeah. Hang up your hat.
You're inspired. You were,
Yeah. You were good to go. You got one down. Yeah. So we have a few minutes left. I want to talk a little bit about the extras that you have at the end there. So you have a prayer guide, recipes. Yeah, so, we talked a little bit about.
Yeah, so the method, you have scripture and then you have the catechism. You can go to the index. But some of these guides are like training wheels. So what I did is I've taken out some catechism verses and some scripture verses, put them together in a packet so you can just read through it yourself, and there's places for you to journal. So we went through the names of Jesus in one guide. Another one, we go through mercy. And so it's, one of them is like, a 10-day guide where every day you just have like a little chunk from catechism and scripture. So those are some of those guides, cocktail recipes that are printouts. What else is there? There's a summary of the structure of the catechism and some other cool things in there.
Well, we are at the end of our time together, Edmund. Can you believe it? It went by so fast. Tell us where we can get everything and how we can follow whatever comes next for you.
Yes. Well, at ReverbCulture/DualWield is where I'm going to keep everything. But I want to make, I'm going to make a ReverbCulture/Squirrel, okay? And that will be for Allison. That, and so at ReverbCulture/Squirrel, I'm going to make a little page for all your listeners to go there, and it will be in the spirit of our conversation. It'll be funny and fun, but also have, you know, maybe some little extra things for your listeners there, and they can get a sneak peek of the book, the first couple chapters.
Thank you so much for joining me. This has been a ball. We've been talking with Edmund Mitchell from Reverb Culture, ReverbCulture.com. This has been A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.